I want to talk about how the Lord appears to us, how he comes to us in ways and sometimes when we least expect it, and what we are experiencing or certainly should be experiencing through the deeper life teaching that God's been giving us over the years is that it's a teaching that's preparing us, getting us ready for the coming of the Lord. This teaching is also making us very sensitive to God's presence, to the leading of his Spirit, and also discerning the days in which we live in. And I'm calling our teaching today, for those who take notes, Jesus rarely comes when we expect him. Jesus rarely comes when we expect him. We can be in situations where we think we're going to try and get ourselves out of it, or we find ourselves in situations where it seems God is a million miles away, but so often we can find that he comes in situations when we're not expecting him, when we're least expecting him. And we're going to look today that is how Jesus is going to come in the last days. As judgment comes upon the earth and as Jesus wraps up this dispensation for his coming to rule and reign on the earth, he's going to appear in times and ways which is going to catch most off guard. In other words, he refers it to like a thief who comes in the night. And we will look at that. But that mustn't be for the overcomers. That mustn't be for us who is being trained and prepared to walk in the Spirit and by the Spirit and to be sensitive to his leading, his guidance. Walking close with Jesus, it will not catch us unawares. And that's the whole point of this. And I want to look at this morning. And I want us to look first in Luke chapter 12 and verse 40. Luke 12 and verse 40. In actual fact, we'll read from verse 35. Because here it's speaking about, Jesus is speaking in parables here, it's speaking about the faithful servant and the evil servant. And we'll take it up in Luke 12, verse 35 onwards. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for the master when he will return from the wedding, that he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. So note what it says there in verse 17. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. In other words, that speaks about delays. Whether he comes in the first watch, the second watch, or the third watch, the point is they're watching. And I believe this is, spiritually speaking, what we're going through. And it goes on, but know that that if this master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So there's the warning. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And that's the verse we're looking at. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, did you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And like God, he's turning to the Gentiles and he's speaking it to all those who love Jesus and want to walk with him. So it wasn't just to the chosen or just the disciples. It speaks out in the future to the church and each generation until he comes. So of course, it's speaking to us. That's the whole point. You know, the greatest thing for any Christian is this readiness to face Jesus Christ at any time and anywhere, or every time. In our everyday walk, we need to be ready to face him. Some of us may face him tonight if he calls us home. The point is, this walk is 24/7, ready to face and meet Jesus at any time. Not just when we take our last breath and he calls us home, but also in our everyday walk and pilgrimage. That is the whole point. This is what is being stressed, what we've read here. And I know this isn't easy. No matter what our experiences have been, whatever we've gone through, it's interesting in this context of what we're talking about, because this is not a battle against sin. It's not a battle necessarily against circumstances or difficulties, of which we encounter all of these. But it's against being absorbed in our service to Jesus Christ. It's when we're not ready to face Jesus himself in our everyday life and walk. And that is the problem. You see, the greatest need is not facing our beliefs, our doctrines, our creeds, how much we say, or how much we say we love Jesus, and there's many fine talkers in the house of God. That's not what we're talking about here. It's facing the question of whether or not we are of any use to him. And the need is to face him, to be ready when he appears, when he's there, he's on the scene. How do I react? What do I do? Or what do I say? What will be my reaction? Will I be able to handle it if Jesus appears and comes on the scene? Will I be ready? These are all questions that maybe we haven't completely thought about, but God wants us to think about. It's so easy for us to hide behind our faith, our confession. It can be easy sometimes to even come together and sit in a meeting and be ministered to. The question is that God is interested in each one of us. Each one of us is precious in his sight. Each one of us has been saved in which to have a living, walking relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that experience, we should be aware that we will face him. We can face him in many different ways and circumstances. And the question is, can I face him? Or do I run away? Or do I ignore him when he's there, present, and so on? And you know, so often the Lord is more present than we realize. The Lord can be present in so many things and so many situations. It's whether we're sensitive to that or not. But Jesus rarely comes when we expect him. And that's the whole point. That's what we've just read here in Luke 24. He appears when we least expect him. He appears mostly when it looks completely illogical. The whole situation looks hopeless. This situation, God could never appear in this. And yet here he is. He's meeting with me. And of course, one of the biggest ones is when we have sinned. When we have fallen short of the glory of God. How could the Lord appear before me right in this situation? How can God appear before me when I've let him down? When I have denied him, I've run away. But of course he did it with the disciples. He did it with Peter. When Peter denied the Lord, when the disciples ran away, it seemed most illogical that he would meet with them in that time of desperation. And yet the question is, how do we meet with him? How did they meet with him in those situations when they denied him, when they ran away from him? They met him in brokenness. They met him in humility. They met him and they had no words. They met him in that situation where they were ready to face him and to hear what he has to say. This is why God at times allows us to go through these trials of all sorts. And many of these trials look illogical. But these trials that you go through, whether it is physical, spiritual, financial, you name it, because these are often the trials that we face today, they look outwardly illogical. But these trials are in which we're to face God and we listen to him. We're all too quick to tell God, to tell him about ourselves, to tell him about our situations, to tell him about what we're going through or how we feel or whatever it is. But the greatest times with Almighty God is when we've got nothing to say. When we're broken, we're at the end of ourselves, when it seems this would be the last place that God, Jesus, would meet with me. Don't try and understand it. You see, God is on the throne. He knows how to meet with us. I was so blessed in reading an article today of how the Holy Spirit is moving in Iraq. As you know, out there, it costs them to be a believer. If the government knows that they are Christian, they're either beheaded or they're hung. And yet I've heard reports how God is moving in that nation, how people are getting saved. And do you know how God is doing it? They are seeing Jesus in dreams and in visions. He is speaking to them. He's revealing himself to them. He is giving scripture. These are people who know nothing at all, but God is meeting with them. And and how God is not only meeting with them, but he's introducing them and leading them to other believers so that they can talk and share and open up the scriptures. This is tremendous what God is doing, right in the heart of that tyranny, these despots. It costs them to be believers there. And look how God is doing it. I was so blessed by this. And this was quickened to me, you know, by reading that, exactly how God meets with us in the most illogical ways. We can never limit God. And so the only way a servant can remain true to God is to be ready for the Lord's surprise visits. And that is the focal point of what I want to say today. Are you and I ready for the Lord's surprise visits? Because I believe this is the principle for the overcomers, for the wise virgins, for the bride of Christ who's ready for the coming of the Lord. And we know that his first coming is going to be in the clouds when he calls up the church, the overcomers, the believers. Those that will go up, who will hear his voice, who will hear the trumpet of God, will be those who are ready, who are watching, who are waiting, who are sensitive to his presence, who don't find it strange when God speaks in ways and situations. But they're always ready. I know in my own life, where God sometimes has spoken to me in the most illogical ways. Sometimes God has spoken to me in the bathroom when I'm having a shave. Who would ever think that God would speak to you or meet with you when you're having a shave? And I could go on in many, many ways, and I'm sure you have testimonies of this. And all those meetings are to help us to be watchful. They're to encourage us that we walk 24/7 with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And that nothing is to separate that relationship, that walk that we have with him. But I'm going to tell you something, that this readiness will not be brought about by service, by being religious, by being busy, trying to do God's work all the time. But it's going to come through a living reality, a walk with him, an expectancy of Jesus Christ turning up, being there in any situation. In other words, when we face the day, Lord, I'm ready, I'm open to meet with you in any situation today, wherever you decide to turn up, wherever you decide to be. And it might mean that you just move alongside to your neighbor next door and just say hello or good morning. How are you? How is your family? Or maybe you've got to hear that somebody down the road is not well, they're ill. And so you go round and ask if you can help. Anything practical. That's what we should be ready for. We tend to think that being ready for Jesus is going off in missionary to the other side of the world and doing something great and spiritual for God. And of course that has its place. But it's far larger than that. This is all very practical. And so often Jesus will appear in those very down-to-earth practical things. That's the whole point. You know, Jesus met with me in the most loving and kindest way yesterday. As you know, I've been away. And I've been working and doing a bit of my tent making, which I do. And just coming back into doing these things that God used to bless me with. And I've been with students this week and was able to move alongside with them. And we had a very blessed time. It was a very busy time. But you know, they brought me a present yesterday as gratitude, as thanks. And I was so touched by this, and I became aware as they presented this to me in a card and expressing their thanks and gratitude, I was meeting with Jesus. That was Jesus telling me, he was speaking to me how he feels. And I was so touched. I had no words. When God meets with you in those ways, he has a way of just shutting you up. There's nothing you can say. And I said to the people, I can't say, I don't have any words. That's never happened. Now, I give God all the praise and all the glory. And it's simply moving alongside with people, showing kindness, generosity, having time to listen to them. And yes, I had one student there was very, very demanding and demanded all my time and my attention. And it was all at times about me, self, I, and everything. But I knew exactly that situation I was in. And I knew exactly what God wanted of me, simply to serve. And if serving meant by just listening to them, then that is it. It's meeting Jesus at times in the most illogical ways. And you see, if we're going to be full of self and what I want, then you are not really going to meet with Jesus in the ways that he wants to reveal and show himself. Because it then is all about you, yourself. And then when the real trials come, where are you, Lord? And God will say, well, you haven't been seeing me when I asked you to help that person down the road. You didn't see me when somebody just needed some kindness or invite somebody over. We have to see God in these situations. And he's there, loud and clear. But I also believe that this sense of expectation, because that's what we're looking today, will give our life this attitude of a childlike faith. This is what simplifies our faith. This is what makes our faith real. When we have these expectations within our heart, have we got this expectation today as we come into this room? We're going to meet with Jesus. We're here today because we're hungry. This is what keeps us childlike, simply believing and trusting God and not making our faith complicated. God's never saved us for a complicated faith, but for a simple faith. And that's the problem. We miss the simplicity of God because we're not expecting to see God in that simplicity. Oh, God can't be in that. He's far too great and big. There's no beginning and no end. But indeed, of course, he is. And so if we're getting ready for Jesus, we've got to stop being religious. In other words, we must stop using religion as if it were some kind of lifestyle, knowledge that I have. I'm different to the rest. I'm different to you, because that's what religion does. It looks down on other people and says, oh, I'm glad I'm not like that man, or I'm glad I'm not like that person, or I'm so pleased I didn't take drugs and alcohol like this poor person has. No, 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 that's religion, that's pride. You cannot ever expect to see Jesus in a situation like this. We have to be spiritually real, brothers and sisters. That's why we look to Jesus in everything. As it says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, as we know this very well, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' ministry was such a practical ministry. meeting the needs. And we tend to think of when Jesus met the needs, we tend to think, oh, he was raising the dead, healing the lepers, restoring them. His ministry was a lot more than that. We tend to think today the only way we're going to meet those needs in the world is when we perform these supernatural miracles. And indeed, we are believing for the greater works. And they are there. But I don't believe the greater works will ever come until we are practically meeting needs as Jesus reveals them to us. When he reveals himself in a situation. And this is where we have to humble ourselves, walk lowly before the Lord. It's setting your hearts on what he wants. It's thinking his thoughts. I know when you do that, you think his thoughts, setting your heart on him, wanting his affections. I know the world out there is just going to look at you as a load of daydreamers, totally impractical, of no use. But all Christians who truly walk with God have always had that said about them. They're of no use. They're of no use to society, no use to the family. They're a bunch of believers, a holy huddle, doing their own thing. That's how the world sees it. Well, let's make them out as liars. Because that's not what we are. Our meetings are anything than that. Our meeting today is not just about a holy huddle. It's about, in a sense, coming to school to learn, to listen to what the Spirit is saying, so that we can face and meet Jesus every day in whatever situation he will appear in. And he appears in many, many ways. It's whether we're seeing him. It's whether we're ready. Or he's come as a thief. He's come when I'm off guard. And we all know when we've been off guard. But it's interesting that when he does appear in the heat of the day, you will be the only one who is ready. And that's the whole point. When Jesus appears in the heat of the day, when I least expect, whatever happens, I am ready. And it would not be wrong, brothers and sisters, to each day when you get up and say, I face this world today and I'm ready, Lord. That is a good confession. Because you're ready to meet him. You're ready to meet him in any situation. Are you ready to meet him when there's a need? Are you ready to meet him when prayer or intercession is required? I'm told that last week you had a meeting online, and I believe our brother had technical problems, mic problems, or whatever it was. Were you ready for that evening? Were you ready to meet Jesus, even though you couldn't have a sermon? Were you ready to see him? Were you seeing him in that situation? Or did you just say, oh, well, we can't get the mic working, no meeting, pastor's not here, he's away, and so on? Only each of you, brothers and sisters, can answer that question. Because Jesus was there. He was present. How do I know? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there am I. The question is, are we meeting him as well? Am I ready? Because sometimes we may not always be here. Sometimes I may not always be here. I may be called off. As you know, I'm, Lord willing, I may be going to India for a few weeks. But it still goes on. And that is the whole point. And every one of us must be ready. That is the point. I'm intrigued when we read in the Bible after Jesus was crucified and he rose again from the dead, how he appeared to the early Christians, the disciples, and how some were ready and some were not ready. And I'm interested if we read, tell me if you will, to Luke 24, Luke 24. And I want to take the story up from verse 13 onwards, from Luke 24 and verse 13. Now Jesus is risen and he's starting to appear. And we note how he appears. He's appearing now quite differently before he went to the cross. They were with him all the time, 24/7. But now, something quite different is happening. And in verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another, as you walk and are sad?' And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known things which has happened there these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then he drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 of those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Jesus met with them. He's still got to work with them because they're not baptized yet in the Holy Spirit. But after Pentecost experience, we see a mighty change in these men and the early Christians. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come to baptize us, to get us to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus, to be ready to meet him in any situation, any time, any hour, any moment, to be watchful. This is what's going to sort out the men from the boys, brothers and sisters. This is what sorts out the foolish and the wise virgins. This is the first fruits that are coming forward. This is the selection of Gideon's army. It is meeting the Lord in the most illogical ways at times. It's listening to him. It's hearing his voice and not him hearing our voice all the time. This is why God is slowly silencing each of us, so that we are sensitive to hear him. He doesn't want to keep hearing our cries and our grumblings and our moanings. Why is this happening? When will it happen? When will I be free from this? Or whatever it is. He wants us in the stillness, even in trial, to be ready to face him and meet him. Don't let him come as a thief, as will be the case with most. But if anyone knows that a thief is coming, then they prepare and make their house secure. How much more we, brothers and sisters, who have the Holy Spirit.
Jesus is.